Hey y'all, this is Dan H. from the Infinite Lives podcast. This is the maiden voyage of my new solo cast, appropriately titled Dick Jokes and Video Games. Most people seem to come to me when it comes to the Infinite Lives podcast and they say things like, "Hey Dan, how come you have to be so vulgar?" Or "How come, while everyone else is kind of concentrating on video games, you will throw in some sort of inappropriate piece of bodily humor or sexual humor or whatever?" Well, what can I say? That's what I think about when the other guys are talking. I mean, you don't expect me to listen to what they have to say, right? Oh, I guess probably I should. Well, anyway, you know, my favorite podcasts are a little bit on the blue side. I don't try to overdo it. But, yeah. Anyway, it seemed a little bit funny that the other guys had solo casts, and I hadn't tried my hand at it yet. It's not bad. I kind of miss the, you know, back and forth with the other guys. It feels a little funny kind of talking to my screen, but whatever, I got plenty to share. Plus, this weekend we'll be trying an experiment. Several of us will be in different places, so we'll actually be doing our own solo casts and combining them to one giant, frothy, grimy podcast for the week. So, anyway, John said I should talk a little bit about how I got started in video games and all that jazz, so let me tell you a little bit about myself. Like you know, my name is Dan. I'm from Renton, Washington, which is a suburb of Seattle, Washington. I've kind of traveled various places, but I'm pretty okay with calling this place home now. I am a freelance writer and creator of content for various gaming formats. Most of my work's been in role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons and that kind of thing. Until recently, I was an employee of Wizards of the Coast, producers of Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering, or Magic Cards, as it's called pretty often. And I'm still doing a little bit of work for them now, again, on a contract basis, and looking for other work, too. But I really enjoy all kinds of games, not just tabletop role-playing games, but board games, card games, and of course video games. Like a lot of people in my generation, I got my start in video games, like at the arcade. When I was a kid, I seem to remember, I believe the first game I ever tried might have been the Star Wars vector graphics game at Chuck E. Cheese. That game, by the way, is still, I mean, it's ugly as sin now, and it controls like crap, especially on a keyboard, but it still holds like something special for me there. The music, the voice, you know, all that kind of stuff. It felt really good playing that game, and even from a, you know, like 3 years old, I already loved Star Wars. Some guys in my neighborhood had an Atari 2600. I never got one, despite my repeated requests for an Atari, or a ColecoVision, or an Intellivision, or pretty much anything. My parents went so far as to get me one of those super old, like, Pong games that just plugs directly into your TV, and then it has one giant paddle and one smaller paddle, and the giant paddle has all the games and stuff on it. But all the games are just variations of Pong. They're called, like, squash or hockey. I think hockey was the best one because you got to control the center and also the goalkeeper. And it was black and white and really uninspiring. I think they got it at Radio Shack. I think I might have played it for about 3 hours before I put it in my closet and never took it out again. We played on my parents' old black and white television. God, that thing was a piece of crap. You know, every time I think about people complaining about video games these days, all I can think to myself is, at least your technology works. You don't turn on an HDTV and have to, like, smack it around with your hand or anything to get the picture to tune in. I mean, things just work now, or they don't work. If your TV doesn't work, you don't smack it or jiggle the plug or play with the antenna. It's just like, oh, I need a new TV. Otherwise, things tend to work kind of perfectly. That's fantastic. I don't know if people realize or even think about it anymore, how bad it was before. It's really good now. So my neighbors had an Atari. My neighbors are called the Srivastavas. It turned out that I was actually the worst guy in my neighborhood at pretty much every video game. We played games like Pac-Man and whatever, but the game that we liked most was called River Raid. For those of you who don't know River Raid, it was sort of like a Galaga-type shooter, except that instead of it taking place in outer space, it took place on a river. And so you were like in this sort of gunboat, and you were kind of hopping back and forth and trying to not smash into logs and destroy other, I guess, gunboats. I don't think the story for River Raid is really all that robust, come to think of it. Well, anyway, I was generally the worst at River Raid, and Anil, that was the younger brother, the one who played the Atari most, he actually had like an Instamatic camera that he would use to take pictures when we would get a high score, and I think the high score was something like if we got over 3,000 or something. Well, all my friends had like 3 or 4 pictures apiece. I think I got one ever, and that was like the best day I ever had. I'm not going to say that we were poor when I was a kid, because we weren't exactly poor. We weren't starving or anything, but my dad was out of work a lot, and there were 2 kids, and we live in Washington, which doesn't have the lowest standard of living, and or cost of living, I mean. And so we didn't get a lot of perks. Toys were basically reserved for, like, birthdays or holidays. Not very often we would get any sort of surprise present. So, of course, something like an Atari was sort of judged to be a, you know, like a needless expense. I can safely say that as a kid, I pretty much never had any money in my pocket unless it was, like, a special occasion. You know, my friends would go to the arcade and things, and I just didn't have money. I'd have to hope that one of them would have mercy on me and, like, let me play a game of Double Dragon or something. Because I just never had anything, you know. And I know that sounds like complaining. It's not complaining exactly. At least I kind of learned that things cost money and you have to, you know, fend for yourself. You don't get things for free. So it was kind of a hard lesson to learn, especially when you're a kid who wants, like, Legos and stuff all the time. But whatever. So when the NES came out, oh man, I wanted an NES so badly. It came out in 1985, I think, and that would have made me about 9 years old. And we had just started playing 8-bit type games at the arcade, games like Mat Mania. Oh man, Mat Mania was a wrestling game that people probably haven't heard of now. But it was so popular at the arcade by my place that people would line up for like lines of 10 people to play this fairly terrible wrestling game, but at the time the graphics and sound were so great that people were willing to wait. But what really pushed us over the edge was Double Dragon. Once Double Dragon came to arcade, all my friends were like, okay, we need to get NESs, because somebody told us that Double Dragon was going to come out on the NES. So those same neighbors who had the Atari when I was really small, they got an NES, and they got Super Mario Brothers, and it turned out that I was like the worst guy in my neighborhood at Super Mario Brothers. I couldn't do anything right. I think like on a really, really good day, I could beat like World 1-2. Which is funny because now kids, I mean, they're playing video games out of the cradle or whatever. I was just rotten. Really bad. So, I wanted an NES so bad, my mom refused to put down the $100 to get it or whatever. But I got lucky. It happened something like this. I was in school, elementary school. I think I was in fifth grade. Yes, fifth grade. I was in fifth grade, and we had spelling bees at our school, and we would start out doing a spelling bee in our class, and then like the 2 best people in your class would go compete in the school one. And for one crazy reason or another, I ended up taking second place in the school spelling bee, which is pretty good. Especially since I'd never been in one before that. So, because I got second place, the first, second, and third place people got to participate in the district spelling bee. So, I went to the district spelling bee. Well, okay, I was going to go to the district spelling bee, and my mom was really excited. She was like, oh, it would be so great if you did well at the district spelling bee, and then you know, who knows how far you could go. Because, you know, they had just shown this Wonderful World of Disney TV movie about this little girl who like was a Vietnamese like immigrant or refugee or something, or Cambodian. She might have been Cambodian. Anyway, she ends up winning, like, the National Spelling Bee and getting all these scholarships and getting this TV movie. And my mom was like, wow, you could really do something with this. It would look really good on college applications and, you know, scholarship applications or whatever. And I said, well, okay. So she tried to get me to study, but the thing is that I never learned to spell well from just reading lists of words. I mean, the reason I can write and the reason I can spell is because I read a lot. I read incessantly. When I was really small, I would just read all the time. I would win every application. So, like, our local library in the summertime, we would have these competitions at the local library. So, you know, you'd write down all the books you wrote that summer, and I would always come in with, like, 200 books that I read over the summer, and I'd win, like, some kind of BS gift certificate at some local bookstore. But anyway, I kept trying to explain this to my mom, and she kept trying to get me to study these lists of words, and then finally I said, look, I'm not going to study any more words, just let me read. So she thought she was going to trick me, and she said, look, tell you what, if you get third place or better, no, fifth place or better, if you get fifth place or better at the district spelling bee, I will get you the basic NES set. Now, that's the one that only had one controller and Super Mario Brothers. It didn't have anything extra. She said, I'll get you the basic NES set if you get fifth place or higher in the district spelling bee, because that meant I got to go to the regional spelling bee, where, you know, that was the level just below national. So I said, okay, it's a deal. And the day of the spelling bee, I got incredibly sick. I was actually feeling sick the night before, and I was running a temperature of like 100, I believe I was running 103.5, something like that. But I was like delirious, feverish. I was so sick. And my mom was like, okay, you're not going to the spelling bee tonight. And I just said, that Nintendo is waiting for me. I'm going to the spelling bee. So I just kept fighting them on it. When finally they were like, okay, well, go ahead. And I guess they figured I wasn't going to do very well. Well, it turned out that I actually, despite the fact that I felt like I was going to pass out the entire time, I fought down to the wire with the district spelling bee champion from the year before. He was an eighth grader, and he had won the year previously. And before I knew it, it was down to me and him, and I ended up winning. True story, and I have a photo from the paper to back this up. We actually went down to the very last official word on the judge's spelling list. I believe it went for nearly 4 hours. But anyway, I won, and I was so flushed and so sick that when it was time to leave, my dad had to carry me to the car. And the next morning I woke up, and I stayed home for sick from school because I was not feeling well. I woke up and my mom had got me the action set, which is the one that had the Zapper and Super Mario and Duck Hunt and two controllers, which is actually the one I really wanted. So I was really happy about that. Now, that being said, that didn't mean that I got a whole bunch of free Nintendo games. You know, growing up, the fact was is that my parents still weren't excited about me liking video games so much. They thought it took away from my studies. And also, they were kind of expensive for like kids' entertainment. And they were afraid I was going to just stay home all day. Which were all valid, I guess, arguments. The fact of the matter was, though, is that the only time I ever got any video games were for like my birthday or Christmas. And any other time, I'd have to save up money, and I didn't get like a big allowance or anything, so that would take, you know, months. Occasionally I would trade buddies like for games, or we'd let each other borrow games. My trick was since I was very judicious, you know, I didn't get too many games, I was very careful to buy games that I thought I'd really, really want, and so I was able to trade a lot with friends because I would get really good games, and they'd go and get a bunch of shitty games that their parents would just kind of get them. So the other thing that helped a lot was there was a video store by my house called Cascade Vista Video. And man, I still miss that place. But they had a pretty big NES section. And they had this weekend special where if you rented two games, you could keep them for the whole weekend and get a third one for free. So I would actually go in there on Fridays and get three games. And over the weekend, more often than not, I would beat all three or at least two of the games over the weekend. And it got to the point where I was keeping a chart, and I realized that I'd beaten, like, over 150 games. And not just easy ones either, but, like, really hard ones. Even hard ones that my friends couldn't beat. Like, even games I can't beat now. Like Ninja Gaiden, I can't beat that now. But I beat it when I was a kid, and I had witnesses to prove it. And it was a weird thing. I went from being the worst video gamer in my neighborhood to being the best one. And I even got a really bad nickname in junior high. One of our friend's older brothers gave me the name Dangerous Dan the Nintendo Man, which is just one of, you know, a series of really unflattering bad nicknames I've had in my life. But it got to the point where friends would have me over and they would actually just hand me the controller and tell me to get them past, like, a really hard part in a game they couldn't get past. And I don't know. I don't think I'm, like, in the elite anymore. But it was pretty good being the best video game guy, like, in my school for a few years anyway. Anyway, after the NES, a bunch of my friends got Super Nintendos, but again, I lived in a household where my parents weren't particularly spendy, and I just didn't have the scratch to get me a Super Nintendo, so I mostly hung out with friends who had Super Nintendos. I never actually owned a Super Nintendo until way later, like, probably between when the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 came out. I got one at a pawn shop for really cheap and looked up a lot of the games I never got a chance to play. Same with the Genesis. I didn't get that until a buddy of mine actually gave me his because he got a Sega Saturn. So what my deal was, though, was after the NES, I really got into PC gaming for a while, particularly the role-playing games like Ultima or like Bard's Tale or Might and Magic. I don't mean Heroes of Might and Magic, that's different, but the Might and Magic series, it was more like a standard RPG back then. Or games like Civilization or Master of Magic. But the big one, the one that took up a lot of my time, were the D&D Gold Box series put out by SSI, or Strategic Simulations. Those, I spent lots and lots of time playing those. I mean, really a lot. And I would listen just to, like, endless REM and They Might Be Giants albums and like Front 242 and some industrial stuff too, just day and night, especially during the summer, and just play and play and play and play. It took the PlayStation to get me back into console gaming, and I stuck with console gaming until a couple years ago when a buddy of mine gave me his old PC. It was actually a pretty decent Dell gaming rig that he bought his wife, but then he got himself an Alienware. This is back when Alienware was still, you know, awesome and not just a Dell subsidiary. Anyway, long story short, too late. I got this PC off my buddy and started tricking out a little bit, you know, getting a better video card, throwing some more RAM in, and I started PC gaming with my old roommate Lou. And the more I got into it, the more I liked it. And now I'd say I'm primarily a PC gamer and a secondary console gamer. I'll still fire up the old 360 once in a while, but to be perfectly honest, if a game comes out on both consoles and the PC, I'll get the PC version every single time. So, let me talk a little bit about the Infinite Lives podcast. I was a latecomer to the podcast. I believe it began between John and Dan Paredes. The two of them seemed really interested in doing a podcast a lot, like... Their main influences were the Kevin Smith Smodcast, I believe, and the Giant Bombcast, which are fine. I mean, I like listening to podcasting now and again, but I'm not as interested in it, in podcasting as a medium, as some of the other guys. This is more something I do now because it's just a fun way for me to talk and listen, you know, just have good conversations with buddies of mine. They've all been friends since college. I only met them a few years ago, but it was one of those things where, you know, the more I hung out with them, the more we all wanted to hang out with each other. And I did a couple of guest spots early on in the podcast, and the more I showed up for, the more they wanted me there. So now I guess I'm a core member or something. I'm not a founding member because I can't go back and do that, but they, you know, treat me like I'm one of the equal partners, which is really cool of them. I mean, for a long time, I was like, this is your show. I'll just go along with whatever. But now, you know, we all have a fair shake on, you know, we all listen to each other's input about what we want to do and what we want to say. And, you know, the thing is, I'm not sure that there have to be as many video game podcasts or video game, like, live streams or whatever that people throw on the internet. I think what makes it really exciting and interesting is not so much the games you play or even the way, you know, it's thoughtfully reviewed. I think what makes it interesting is that we're, like, forming a community. And to be honest, a video game community is not something that you would normally form, you know, in person, because that's, you know, cumbersome. You need a lot of TVs, a lot of consoles or whatever. A video game community really exists online because that's the logical step. I mean, I guess it's possible that you could get, like, a ton of people together in, like, the Key Arena and just lash together a bunch of TVs and consoles and have everybody play together, but, you know, that's more like a con, and we've got cons. This is like a living thing, you know, it's a network, and that's exciting. I want more of this. I've started listening to other people's podcasts more often. I've started watching other YouTube video game reviewers. There's some, like, legitimately interesting and entertaining people out there, like Roboz or Dashi from Dashi's Games, and the Giant Bomb guys, particularly. RIP Ryan Davis. That was a horrible thing that just happened a couple days ago. And but anyway, I think what we're looking for next in the podcast is we're looking mostly to increase our production value and improving the website. Kevin's been doing a tremendous job on the website, and Kevin recently put in an order for some new hardware that should improve our sound quality and that kind of thing. We got an RSS feed through iTunes and a few other RSS providers, and, you know, this thing might not be, you know, it might just be a vanity project as long as it is around. It might just be something where a few of our friends listen, but we'll never really know until we take the chance to, you know, gain a little exposure. So I'm excited to be a part of it. And I really enjoy hanging out with my buddies and putting these things together every week. Hopefully our listenership will grow, and not just, you know, because we want to make bank or because we want to be internet famous or some horse shit. You know, we want listeners because we want our voices heard, and we want to hear what our listeners have to say to us too. So we're putting together some forums for feedback and criticism. You know, we really want to make a nice, entertaining podcast with you know, plenty of replay value. Some of our podcasts have been really fun for me to listen to. Some of them, not as much. It would be great to get some other points of view going so that we can kind of see where we need to shore things up. So, wow, it's already 23 minutes. Holy hell. Okay, well, I'll tell you a little bit about the podcast. I'm going to do a solo cast this weekend also. This weekend I'm going to the Seattle Retro Gaming Convention with some buddies of mine from the gaming industry, you know, like Paizo and Wizards of the Coast. And we're going to go have an awesome time, and then I'm going to come home and do a solo cast talking about what I saw and what I played at the Retro Game Con. I think it's going to be a really good time, and I think the solo cast is going to be a lot of fun to listen to. And I guess I didn't make any dick jokes today. It doesn't seem as appropriate when the other guys aren't around to kind of crack up. But what the hell, dick jokes and video games is still going to be what it's called. And if I come up with some good dick jokes before next time I solo cast, so be it. Well, thanks for listening. I urge you to listen to our regular Infinite Lives podcast and visit our website at infinitelives.us. We have some new t-shirt and like long-sleeve shirt designs coming out in the next couple of weeks. We got a new logo. Hopefully we're going to sharpen up. And we got some ideas for some new designs that should also be pretty awesome. Please check out the other solo casts, like Kevin's solo cast and John's solo cast. Dan's you can skip. No, I'm just kidding. Check out all of our solo casts. Check out our live streams. We're going to throw some more up in the web. This summer is going to be a great big Infinite Lives summer. Oh, and a little sneak preview. I believe we're going to be trying to get a Rock Band video cast, a four-player Rock Band video cast coming up on YouTube pretty soon here, and that should be really fun. I'm looking forward to singing poorly for all of our listeners. So anyway, this is Dan signing off. Thanks a lot for listening, and keep listening to the Infinite Lives podcast, infantlives.us, and on iTunes, Infinite Lives podcast. Take care.